Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community.
This morning, I'm going to continue our series in 2 Timothy, and so if you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's where we're going to be this morning, and I'll just address the elephant in the room. A lot of you might be wondering, and many have already asked, why I have a boot on and why I'm limping around the stage. And so I get the question, what happened? And that's the same question I'm wondering myself. I don't have any cool stories of how I was saving someone or I stopped a bank robbery or anything like that. I simply went to sleep and I woke up. And Friday it was sore, and then on Saturday morning, when I woke up, I couldn't walk on it. And so I don't know what happened. I haven't gone to the doctor yet. This is actually a fancy boot that my dad had already. And so I was like, Dad, let me have it. And it's made it bearable so I can stand up here this morning. But I don't know what's going on. I covet your prayers if you would pray for me. But I think my day is Tuesday. If it didn't get better by Tuesday, I might consider checking it out. But Gene's really looking at me. Yeah, bad. Anyway. All the men, you guys know what I'm talking about. Hoo-ah, right? Yeah, you guys know. I rub dirt on it and stuff. Anyway, so I don't know. Don't ask. I genuinely don't know. I just know it hurts very, very badly. So anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1 through 7, that's where we're going to be at today. And this is Paul's charge to Timothy. And so I'm going to read it. It's going to be on the screen, and then we're going to talk about it. So here we go. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, 1 through 7. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I got to pause right there. Pastor Steve totally stepped on my territory. I was supposed to preach this this week, and that was all of his message last week. So Pastor Steve preached all about the grace being in Christ Jesus, which is totally fine, but I thought that was funny. He stepped on my territory. But anyway, moving on. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So we're going to look briefly, quickly at the points that Paul makes to Timothy here. The first point that he makes is stay strong and grounded in grace. Like I said already, that was all of Pastor Steve's message last week. A good portion of it was right there, staying strengthened and grounded in grace. The next point that he makes in these seven verses is you've seen how I preach and disciple others. Now go and do that. So you've seen how I preach, you've seen how I've made disciples, now you go, Timothy, and go do that. Do what I've modeled. How many of you have ever seen someone do something that they've modeled and not even understood, like, where did that come from? How many of you guys, your kids have modeled you in maybe a not-so-good light to somebody that they know? It's like, hey, where'd you pick that up? Oh, mom said that, or oh, dad said that. You guys know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to move on. But, you know, if we look, and we're always looking for ways to look towards the values of our church, and so two of our six values, I think, kind of are entangled in this. And one of them is each generation needs to look to grow and to grow others. That's something that we've said from the pulpit. It's been on the screens. Whether or not you guys know it, I'm not sure, but I know we've communicated it. Each generation needs to look to grow and to grow others. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. You need to look for faithful men that they will be the next torchbearers to preach the gospel. That's what he's communicating to Timothy here. So we need to look to grow as people of Christ. We are not doing a good job if, say, for instance, you are a chef at a kitchen, right? And you are the best chef there ever was, and everything is good. At a five-star restaurant in New York City, just the best of the best. I don't know if you've ever been to a restaurant like that, but me and my family, we don't go there often. But the best of the best chef, and all of a sudden that chef gets sick, can't come into work that day, and that chef has failed to teach any of the kitchen aides any of their craft. And then the food at a five-star restaurant goes from five-star to one-star. You know, it's like you'd be better off just going to Burger King. Then that's probably not a very good chef, right? But an effective chef would be a good teacher to the aides and teach them the craft, right? And so when the chef gets sick, all of a sudden the food doesn't skip a beat. The restaurant doesn't have to shut down because the kitchen aides know what to do. They know how to handle it. That, I think, would be a successful chef. And so that's what we're being called to do, and what Timothy is being charged to do by Paul is saying, hey, you need to go and have other torchbearers and pass the torch like I've passed to you. That's what I'm doing now, is passing the torch. And so each generation needs to look to grow and to grow others. And then another value is empowering people to influence their surroundings. What Paul is doing here to Timothy is he's empowering him and saying, hey, it's okay. I'm commissioning you to go. You are capable. I've seen you. I know what I've preached to you, and now it's your time. Go and do that. I think we as Christians we've all been commissioned. If you look throughout the Word of God, there's plenty of places, but the easy one, and that's the one I'm going to give to you today, is the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as I've commanded you. And so it talks about teaching them and that how he's going to be with us and help us and empower us to do that. That's the great commission. And so Paul tells Timothy to go and make disciples. What I've done with you, now go and do. And then if we look throughout the scripture in these seven verses that we've read, then he gives three illustrations, right? He gives three illustrations. He says to Timothy, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled with civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So the first illustration he gives us is a soldier. If you look at soldiers, if you've ever talked to a soldier, anybody who enlists, you know, anybody who enlists knows that they're signing up to sacrifice and everything, and very thankful to everybody who's ever served. But if you've ever had a chance to listen to somebody like with a true warrior mindset, one, it's a little bit frightening, but two, if you're a dude, it's way cool. But three, it's like they think differently than everybody else. Does that make sense? They think differently. They're very task oriented, and they say, you know, I'm here to complete a task. I'm here to complete a very specific mission. If you look at the top tier of our armed forces, if you look at like the Navy SEALs and then the missions that they're given. And sometimes what seems to be the death traps that they're sent in, man, those dudes are so focused and minded. It's like, I've got a task to complete. And guess what? When they're going into that mission, when the SEAL team is going in to raid whatever it's called, the objective, I guarantee you those SEALs aren't carrying around their M16s, you know, and their guns and everything. And then they see a soccer ball on a soccer field, and they're like, "Hey, you guys want to play a quick game of soccer? You know, like, let's put these guns down and we could play real quick and get back to the mission here." Or they don't walk by a market thinking, "Oh man, what can I buy? This leather product is amazing." You know, they don't do all that. They're there with a mission in mind. They're there with a mission in mind. They have a warrior mindset. They leave their families and the normal life to go complete a mission. And most are understanding that if it comes down to it, the worst case scenario, many are willing to sacrifice everything, trade everything to complete this mission. And then Paul goes on and he says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Then he uses this athlete as an illustration. Athlete's mindset is train hard, perform harder, right? It's train hard, perform harder, leave it all on the field. They sacrifice their diet, their time, their physical bodies to perform the very, very best. How many of you guys are big NBA fans? Any NBA fans? Okay, I figured there wasn't going to be a whole lot. Now, I know this was a social media buzz, but did anybody see Shaq's feet? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, do yourself a favor. If you have a Twitter or anything like that, I know I'm getting a lot of weird looks, but when you're done, not now, but go look at Shaq's feet. just type it in Google. It'll pop up, I guarantee it. But his feet were like nasty. And so I was reading an article and said, well, a good reason why his feet are so bad is because he's put so many years of abuse through on the court playing and training and all of what he does in his profession. And many athletes, if you look at after their career is over, they're just not the same. They're limping around, they're hurting themselves. I would love to just say, well, my ankles hurt because I won a Super Bowl, you know, it didn't happen that way. But these athletes, they put it all on the line to perform the very best that they know how to. And then Paul continues using one more illustration of a farmer. Hard worker, long hours, strict schedule so that they will take in a bountiful harvest. Have you guys ever really had a chance to sit down and talk to a farmer, like a hardworking farmer? My time in Goodland, I spent 2 years there doing youth ministry, and still to this day, they're some of the hardest working people I've ever met. I'm not kidding you. There's this 70-year-old, probably 70-something, 75-year-old dude who is still out. And I'm not saying 75-year-old old man. He is a 75-year-old dude still putting in the work. Still, I pray that I'm a fraction of a hard worker as he is in my 20s. Like, this guy is putting in the work, putting in the long hours, and then just the strict schedule of planting and then waiting for the harvest. It's so important. And if you've ever been in one of those small towns during harvest, what happens? The town shuts down. All of a sudden, you see on local restaurants, there's post-it notes, well, closed for harvest. That's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. But the whole town shuts down in preparation for harvest because everybody's trying to take in the crops that have been planted. And so when I was really studying through 2 Timothy, looking through this portion of Scripture and looking at these three illustrations that he used, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. I was trying to make a joke out of it, but I couldn't. But I think that there's three traits that these three possess that we as Christians should possess as well. And I think that this is kind of the mindset that Paul was trying to communicate to Timothy. Well, he did communicate to Timothy. But I think there's three traits, and that is determination, discipline, and execution. Determination, discipline, and execution. Determination, deciding on a purpose. Determining what you're going to go do. And we talked about this in our youth life group this morning, but I would go out on a limb and say there's no Olympic gold medalist ever in the world that woke up that morning and decided, "Hey, I'm gonna go pole vaulting." If I did that this morning, I would break the pole. I'm sure of it. I've seen synchronized diving before, and I guarantee you, if my wife and I said, "Hey, you know what? Let's go for gold this year. We're gonna show up in Rio, and we're gonna go synchronized diving together," there would be two really bad belly flops, one splash being bigger than the other. I'm referring to mine, hun. I got you. Right? There's not ever been a gold medalist that decided, I'm just going to wake up and do this. No, there was a moment in their life where they decided, you know what, I'm going to train and do the very best I can. I'm making a decision on this purpose. I'm making a decision on this goal. I'm deciding to do that. When you look at a soldier, right? They don't just decide, I'm going to be a Navy SEAL one day. No, they enlist and they work hard and they see if they're cut out for it. They work hard and there's a point in their life where they decide, I'm going to do my very best to be the very best soldier that I can be. A farmer doesn't just wake up one day and decide, I'm going to go harvest some crops. What am I going to go get? You know, if I harvested crops, I would get a bunch of dandelions. You decide very early on, I'm going to plant this and put the hard work into it, and eventually there's going to be a harvest, right? There has to be a time where you decide on the purpose. The second trait, discipline, to devout wholly and earnestly for a purpose. Not only does there have to be a decision, but then you have to put the hard work in for it, right? You don't just decide, okay, you know what, honey, we're going to go buy a house. Well, where's that money coming from? You know, you got to start saving. You got to put in the hard work and really decide that I'm going to be disciplined in working towards this purpose. And then finally, and we're going to talk about it more in depth, but execution. I mean, you can decide. You can have the most. You can be the most just dedicated person and decide, I am going to do this. I am going to be an Olympic gold medalist. And you can be the most disciplined, right? You can go and put in the hard work, and you could even qualify for the Olympics and get up on the big stage. But if you're not willing to swing at the ball, you're just going to strike out, right? If you're not willing to jump off that diving board, you're never going to get a score. You're going to disqualify. Right? Like you have to, there's got to be a point where you decide, I'm going to carry out and accomplish this task that I've so desperately tried to work towards. Determination, discipline, and execution. So the first trait we're going to talk about, obviously, determination. Now I've given you the sample of it, just like if you were to walk through Sam's. I went through Sam's yesterday on a cart because I couldn't walk. My wife was embarrassed about me. Anyway, I drove up and I got some samples yesterday. I love going to Sam's when there's samples, right? Who doesn't, right? Who's willing to wait through the long lines? I am. I mean, samples are like Black Friday for me. I am willing to wait as long as it takes. I will wait. If it says 7 minutes on that microwave, I'm talking to whoever it is for 7 minutes. Like, I'm going to get that sample. And so I don't even know where I was going with this. Determination, yes, you got to be determined. Thank you. You got to be determined. You got to decide on a purpose. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about how if anyone is in Christ, if anyone decides that I'm going to follow Christ and make him Lord of my life, then we are a new creation, right? We've been made new. But if you continue reading through 2 Corinthians, it says you've been made new, and now you work in one accord for Christ's purpose, right? You haven't just been saved and made new just to be made new. You've been made new for a purpose. Philippians 3, which is one of the most quoted Bible verses in the Bible, Paul is talking here, and he says this. He says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. Basically saying, and he's thanking people for these gifts that they brought, and he's writing, and he says, I know how to suffer through much, and I know how to be when I have everything in abundance. I know how to be poor, and I know how to be rich. I've done both. In every circumstances, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not just saying I can do all things and go accomplish this task. What Paul is saying is, in everything, I know the secret. It's leaning on Christ. That's the answer in both situations. Paul is basically saying, I've decided on a purpose for my life, and it doesn't matter the things of this world. I don't care if I'm hungry, and I don't care if I have everything I need. My purpose isn't with that. My purpose is in the Lord. I am going for that purpose. I have determined what my life is going to mean, and it means for Christ, right? It means I am going to be about Christ's work and not just the things of this world. That's what Paul is essentially saying. Now, I'm about to really drop a hardcore truth bomb. So if you have your pens, if you're looking for a new tattoo idea, here it is, all right? I'm just kidding. Kids, tattoos are forever. Here's the truth bomb. Are you ready? Accomplishing anything starts with a decision. I know, profound. Accomplishing anything starts with a decision. If you are passionate about trying to make a difference in this world, then you need to decide what your life is going to be about. I really do believe it's deeper than just accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. I know most of us know what that means. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you making Him Lord of your life, that means that, and most of us understand, that means you enlist into the work of Christ. That means that you're going to be about His work. But a lot of us are guilty of just sitting on the sidelines and cheering people on. In order for a soldier to get in the fight and accomplish a mission, they first have to enlist. So my question is, have you entered the fight? And I'm not asking, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Which that's a good question too, and that's a valid question. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you turned your life over and been made a new creation? But you, Christian, who have claimed to be Christian for a long time, have you enlisted in the fight? Have you picked up your armor and gone out to the battlefield? Or are you guilty of just saying, man, that missionary did great. You know, that what a word Pastor spoke today. What an amazing special Michael Monty played on his flute this morning. You know, I don't know, whatever it might be. Are you guilty of just cheering on from the sidelines? Or have you enlisted and really gone to battle in the fight? We have to determine. Just like the farmer, the soldier, and the athlete, we have to determine what is our purpose going to be. And if it's to bring hope to this lost world, then what are you doing about it? Or would you, if you were being honest with yourself and looked inside of your heart of yours, would you say, you know what? I don't think I've really been that determined. I don't think I've made that determination. I'm guilty of just sitting in this room Sunday after Sunday and not doing anything with it. I'm guilty of just going to a Bible study and having lots of knowledge, but I don't know any of my friends that have really tried to reach for the Lord. In fact, all my friends are in that Bible study. Maybe you need to look at your life and say, have I really enlisted in the fight? Are you determined? The second trait, discipline. Discipline or self-control to devote wholly and earnestly for a purpose. Romans 12:1 says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What this is saying is if you transform your bodies and you live not according to this world, but according to me, and you really do that, you're disciplined about that, then slowly over time, I will make you a new creation and I will show you my plan for your life. But you have to be disciplined in that. Let's be honest, every day, maybe if those of you that are trying to lose weight or whatever, every day you drive by a McDonald's, or maybe McDonald's doesn't even interest you. Maybe you drive by, I don't know what it is, and it can be like the nastiest, greasiest Chinese food, but smelling that stuff in the air, I don't know about you guys, but every time I just turn into like a hangry monster. Have you guys heard of hangry? You guys know what I'm talking about? It's like hungry and angry combined, and it's just like, I just like, where's that Chinese food at? And I want some of it right now. That's how I am. But how many of you guys know we're tempted, right? We're tempted daily. We're tempted in this world. When we go throughout this world, again, we can be our Bible-toting, going to church kind of Christians, but every day you're going to be tempted to sin. Every day the devil is waiting and knocking, and we know the Bible verses like a roaring lion waiting to devour, all of these things. But are you being disciplined in the things of Christ? Are you disciplining yourself to be transformed by the renewing of our mind? How many of you guys know the first couple days of a Bible plan sometimes is really hard to get into? In fact, it's not even just a Bible plan, it's anything. The first couple times you go to the gym, it's like you're slowly doing the curls in the corner, and you're like, who's looking at me? You know, like, is everybody looking at me? I don't want to be looked at. I'm going to go get a drink for the seventh time this minute, you know? And it's like you're a little nervous, but then you start getting in the groove, and you've gone there a couple times, and then by like the seventh or tenth time you've gone to the gym, it's like you don't care who's around you, you know? Like, I'm jamming out to like Michael Jackson in my earphones and just singing and lifting weights. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't care who's looking at me. But it takes some time to get comfortable in that space, right? It takes time. It takes discipline and repetition to be comfortable. And it's no different in our walk with Christ. It's going to be hard, but the more you do it, the more disciplined you are, it becomes a habit. Praying becomes a habit. Reading your Bible becomes a habit. And soon you will be transformed, and now you are a new creation in Christ. And then you start understanding what is His purpose for you. And I really believe the more in tune you are with God, the more time you spend with God, the more evident His voice is going to be to you. And the more disciplined you are, the more ready you are going to be for your task. Does that make sense? In order to be effective in our mission for Christ, we must be disciplined in the way we live. We have to be extremely intentional. I found this quote, and I couldn't find a source, but it said, discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. A soldier, again, has decided, I'm going to enlist, I'm going to be at the top of the military food chain. I'm going to go be a good, awesome soldier. Well, he has to train for that. He has to train long and hard for that. He has to go on the crazy runs. He has to go through the weeks where he doesn't get any sleep and they just work him out for hours and hours. He has to go to the shooting range regularly to stay sharp on his marksmanship. They have to do things and train hard and be disciplined to accomplish this task at hand. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. Here's another truth bomb I'm gonna lay on you, is if we want to change the world, then we have to be different from the world. If we want to change the world, we have to be different from the world. We can't just blend in and look the same and just have the stamp Christ on our chest and expect us to be different than the world. What sets you apart from the person across the hall in the next cubicle over? What separates you from them? Because if nothing separates you from the world, then how do you expect to be a good soldier for Christ? How do you expect to be the hope of the world if you don't have the hope inside of you? You have to be disciplined in your walk with Christ. You have to be disciplined and be different. We've been called to be set apart. Again, in 2 Timothy, it says, no soldier gets entangled with civilian pursuits. Don't get sidetracked so much by this world, but stay disciplined in what God has given you. Stay disciplined in your walk with Jesus, and then I promise you, you will have the hope of the world when you need to offer it. And finally, after discipline is execution. Following through with what you've determined you are going to do. God has not called us to have victory in everything that we do. God has called us to be faithful in everything we do. Let me repeat that. God has not called us to have victory in everything we do. God has called us to be faithful in everything we do. I think everybody is waiting for their huge victory, right? Everybody wants their Red Sea moment, their Jericho moment, their Goliath moment, where it's just this huge thing. But I think in order to really execute what we have been called to do, I think it's being faithful in the small things. It's executing what you've decided your life is going to be about. It's executing what you've devoted wholly and earnestly to. You deciding to execute, to actually be the hope of the world, to actually put your reputation on the line. To you, for you, some of us in this room, it's for you to actually put yourself out there and say, and to risk that awkward conversation at work. Or maybe the student in this place to risk that awkward conversation at the lockers. For you to put your popularity on the line. For you to maybe someone might look at you weird. That's okay. We have been called to execute, to carry out or accomplish the task at hand. John 12, Jesus says this. John 12:12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Whoever truly believes in me will be out executing what you've decided that you're going to do when you've said, I make you Lord of my life. Matthew 5, Jesus said this, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lampstand just to put it under a basket. They put it on a stand and it gives light to all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What Jesus is saying here is, I didn't save you to go live in your Christian bubble. I saved you to go out into the world and be the light to the darkness. I have saved you to go execute. To go execute what you've decided to do. I've saved you to execute what you've been disciplined in learning my word and going to church and putting yourself around godly people. I have saved you so that you could go execute now and go take the darkness, take the hope that you found and go put it in the most hopeless place on this earth. Not everybody was called to the depths and jungles of Africa. That's okay. But you have been called to your neighbor. You have been called to the people around you. You have been called to the mechanic that works on your truck. You have been called to the people, your server at lunch today. You have been called to the people that you are in contact with. Those are the people that you are to execute, to carry out your accomplished task. You have to decide, now is the time where I decide I'm going to live out. I'm going to live out and execute the task. I am going to do what I've been here to do. James 1 says this, and I told you, I cannot preach a sermon without quoting James, and that's okay. But be doers of the word, not just hearers. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. And James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. Here we go. This is the secret to the religion that's pleasing to God is this, right here. It's to visit the orphans and the widows and their affliction. To keep oneself unstained from the world. Unstained from the world. What religion is acceptable to God is those caring about the down and out, the most pitiful people on this earth. That's who we've been called to help pull them out of the hopeless pit they're in. And stay unstained from the world. Be faithful and go execute. So I don't know if you're in this place, and Michael, you can come up. I knew I wasn't going to preach long because my leg hurts, and I don't know, that's probably it, but, and I only have one page of notes. Normally, Pastor Steve comes up here with eight, so we're just different styles. That's totally cool, too, but I'm going to let you out a little bit early today. But these three traits that I think Paul was pointing towards, the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, what he's called us to be as Christians, what Paul was charging Timothy and through God's word is being charged to us today, is for us to be determined, what is our task going to be on this earth? What is your purpose going to be while you live here? How are you being disciplined? What are you doing to stay disciplined in your walk with Christ? Are you being disciplined? Are you being disciplined? And are you executing the task that you've set out to do? Determination, discipline, and execution. Which one are you struggling with? Maybe you're in this place and you're like, you know what, I don't even know this Jesus guy you're talking about. Well, that means you're probably struggling with determination. What is your life going to be about? What is your purpose on this earth? And that's okay. We've all been there. Maybe it's, man, I know what I should do, and I know I've determined that my life is going to be about Christ, but my disciplines are awful. I'm never in my word, or maybe you're in your word all the time, but there's something that's always, there's a stronghold in your life, maybe a sin that just keeps grabbing you, or it's like, I can't seem to separate myself from the world, and it's killing my walk with God, or it's killing my ability to execute. I mean, how can I be the light to my friends when I'm the one that's in the ditches with them? How can I help my friends when I'm just as ugly on the inside as they are? Or, man, maybe it's like, you know what, I've decided what I'm going to do with my life. I've decided the purpose, and I'm disciplined. I've got it. I go to every Bible study from here to on this side of the Arkansas. I don't know. And it's like, man, I know my word. I know it, and I know my purpose on this earth, but I got to be honest with you. I don't know the last time I've reached out to someone. I don't remember the last time I've led someone to Christ. Well, I would dare say you're probably having a hard time executing your goal, right? Nobody makes it to the major leagues by not swinging at a pitch, right? I mean, you're going to fail sometimes, and that's okay. God didn't call you to be victorious. God called you to be faithful. But we have to be willing to fail sometimes in order for there to be victories in our life. I really believe unless you have all three, then something's out of whack. I mean, you can be the best, you can be the best, you know what, I'm going to do this. I mean, and you execute everything. It's like, I'm going to clean this, I'm going to clean that. But if you fail to find your purpose and really know the direction you're going to go, you're just going to go in circles all your life. All you're going to do is execute all the dreams that you've ever had, but it's like really not knowing the purpose or what you're there for. Or maybe you're really disciplined, but you haven't decided you're going to do anything, or you're not going to execute it. It's just, I'm just going to be very disciplined. You know, what good is that? If you don't have one of these, then I think it's out of whack. It's important that we have all three. And just like the soldier, the farmer, and the athlete, we see the necessity of being determined, disciplined, and also having that execution. We as Christians have to decide what we're about, how we're going to stay on track, and then what we're going to do for the cause of Christ. I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to ask each question. I'm going to say, man, if you're in this place and you haven't determined what your life is going to be about, the purpose of your life, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. And when I ask you to raise your hand, that's not so I can make you stand up and embarrass yourself. That's for me to be able to pray for you. So I'm just going to ask a response to each question, and then I'm going to say a brief prayer today. And then we're going to go celebrate somebody who's chose to not only follow Christ, but also make it public to everybody and say, I am a new believer in baptism, which is awesome. But first, I think it's important that we respond today. And we've left enough time to where everybody in the sanctuary can march down there. If I can make it down there in a boot, you can make it down there in a wheel. I don't know. I don't know if we have any wheelchairs, but we'll get you down there somehow. Can everybody bow their head for me today? If you're in this place and you'd say, Jacob, I know it's determination. Maybe you're in this place, and first I want to ask, if you're in this place and you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'd say, I want to decide today what my life is about, and that's about being a follower of Christ, being made a new creation, and joining in the work of sharing the hope to this dark and broken world. If that's you in this place, and you'd say, I've never accepted Christ in my life before, and I want to do that today, would you simply just raise your hand? Now, if you're in this place and you'd say, I haven't determined, I've accepted Christ, but I haven't really decided I'm going to enlist into the fight. I haven't really taken that step, and today I want to decide. I'm determined to make a difference in this world. If that's you in this place, would you raise your hand? I see those hands. Now this next question, if you're in this place and you've been dealing with discipline and you're like, man, I just, this area of discipline is so hard and I cannot seem to get a grasp on these certain areas. I'm not really grounded in my word. I'm not grounded in prayer and I deal with these different issues. Whatever it is about discipline, would you just simply raise your hand? And hands all over. And finally, if you're in this place and you say, man, I fail to execute. I do not follow through. I have opportunities. I feel like I'm equipped, but I never really follow through with it. And I need to start today, but I want you to pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Lord, you've seen these hands all over. Lord, all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us deal with one of these, if not all of them. And so God, I pray today that you will just help us in these areas that we need help in. And God, help us if it's deciding on a purpose in our life, if it's determining that we are going to be a follower of you. God, I pray that you would help us and walk us through that journey and give us a church. Lord, help us as a church walk through that with them. And God, if you're in this place, Lord, I pray that you will just help us in this area of discipline. Lord, there's hands all over. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the things we struggle with. You know the areas we could get better at. Lord, I pray that you will help us be a church that is disciplined in our word, disciplined in our prayer. Lord, disciplined in staying away from this world, staying away from the struggles that we deal with, and focusing on the task at hand. And finally, Lord, and arguably the most important, God, let us be a church that executes your plan for our life. Let us be a church that is a beacon of hope. Let us be a church, a lighthouse to the community. Lord, let our light shine bright wherever we go, no matter where we go. Lord, and we know it's not just a church here in Valley Center, but the church is inside of us. Let us be the church as we go into our schools, into our workplaces, into the gyms that we go in. Lord, the restaurants that we attend, the small interactions that we have with people, let them be, Lord, just anointed in a way that can only be from you. Lord, just I pray that you will help us look for opportunities, open doors for us, and knowing that we don't need to be discouraged when we fail, but Lord, pick us up, build our faith in knowing that you are in control and you've called us to plant seeds. You've called us, there are times of harvest, but God, you've called us to execute what we've been sent here to do. Lord, I thank you for my church family, and I pray as we enjoy this week of rest for some, God, I pray that it would be a productive week with our families. And Lord, we thank you for this beautiful weekend you've given us. God, I pray that you will bless us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody dance.
Everybody. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.